You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. John Scott, Tim Wurzberger. Tim, how's it going, my man?
It's going good. Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Can't complain. It's cold, but it's nice. Life is good. My parents are coming into town today, so that's very exciting.
Finally.
First time in, I want to say, over two plus years. They haven't been here since the pandemic. So let's see. They said 15 days to slow the spread, multiply, carry the 1,000. So I think it's almost 3 years since they've been here, which is wild. So they're driving in right now, which is exciting. They're going to stay for they're going to leave Sunday. So 3 days, which is good. The kids are excited. I'm excited to see them. It'll be good. We got some things planned, so it'll be fun.
They haven't met Eleanor yet, right?
They have not met our youngest. She will be two in July. So yeah, she's a good barometer of when they came last. I think they came for, I don't know when they were here last. It's been a while. Like I have bought and sold a house since then. We've started building another one. We've renovated a little dinky house. So a lot has been going on since they've been here, but it's fun. They're going to be here. Show them around Traverse City again. They've been here a few handful of times, but we're looking forward to it. I'm excited. I hope they're excited. The weather looks like it's warming up just a little bit for their arrival. So I don't know. We're going to get them to babysit the kids on Saturday night.
Nice.
So we'll see how that goes. They haven't had the full effect of all six at one time when I'm not there. So we'll see how they handle it. But
your mom will love it though.
We're going to get some pizza and just let them, you know, run around a little bit. I would say watch a movie, but lifestyle choice. I don't have a TV. It is what it is. You know, it's just the way I live my life, Tim, you know. I just like to interact with people. I like to talk. I like to see faces. I don't like to scare a dummy box all the time.
If there's one thing you don't like, it's interacting with people. So
fact. I like to just be alone by myself. I was actually just listening to it. It's like, you'll never go insane if you're around people because you can have conversations. He's like, most people who go insane, they isolate themselves. I'm going to go insane. But hey, that's my lifestyle choice. I'm allowed to do that.
Lifestyle choice, yeah.
But anyway, you know what's funny? We had a talk yesterday with the big boss man here at the Nation Network, and talk about disrespectful actions. So he's the big boss man, like the head honcho, the grand poobah, all the analogies you can come up with. I called him the wrong name for the first half of the conversation until Tim was like, hey, it's not Jay, you dummy. It's Dan. And I was like, oh my gosh.
No, you have that backwards again. It's not Dan. It's Jay.
Oh, there you see.
You still can't get it. For the people that think you mess up names on purpose, I'm like, this is a perfect example. You just did it again, totally by accident.
I'm just completely oblivious. We work with a Dan at the Nation Network here. He's great. Everybody's great. And we're talking about just renewing our contract. It's a yearly thing. It has to be done. Everybody's got to, you know, get their money. It is what it is. It's a part of the business. So nice cordial conversation. And Jay thinks I'm like big time because I'm calling him Dan the whole time. And finally Tim's like, hey dummy, you're calling him the wrong name. So it's just embarrassing. Yeah, you know, everybody has those embarrassing things. I am terrible with names. Awful.
Okay. You're good at other things.
I guess so. But yeah, it's just like you said, it's an affirmation. I'm not
you
doing
are
this
smart. You are capable.
That's one of the better SNL sketches. All right, let's talk about some hockey news. An all-star nominee is injured, out for the all-star game, out for an unforeseen amount of time. It looked really bad. Drake Batherson, had him on my fantasy team last year. Very exciting young Ottawa player. Kind of jumped into the scene last year. No one really heard of him. Scored a bunch of goals. Has carried it over to this season. Having a great year. Like I just mentioned, voted to his first All-Star game. About to go. The game's in a couple weeks. He's excited. Forechecking a puck versus the Sabres. And this is a common occurrence where the puck gets dumped in. The goalie goes back and stops behind the net, sets it up for the defenseman. The defenseman's being hounded by a forward, and the goalie tries to give the defenseman a little bit of time. Very normal play, happens five times a game. Very normal. Usually the goalie will just edge out a little bit, you know, maybe hold, not hold his post, but maybe stick a leg out or a body out and just hold it a little bit just to make that forward take a longer angle to chase the defenseman. Aaron Dell went a little bit further than that, Tim. He drops his shoulder into Batherson. And as a forechecking forward, I know this. I've been lucky enough to play forward and defense in my life. You're not expecting to be hit by the goalie. That's the last thing you're expecting. You're full on in chase mode. You're like a dog trying to catch a cat. You're trying to get that guy, and you're focusing all of your energy on skating and taking that net and taking the tightest angle possible. And the last thing you expect is a guy clipping your shoulder and sending you flying into the boards. It's the most dangerous part of the ice, 3, 4, 5 feet from the boards. And when you're going full speed and some donkey decides to clip your shoulder, you're done. You're absolutely done. Watch the play. Watch Batherson go flying into the boards. He's lucky his leg didn't snap off. No one knows the extent of the injury. Tim, you've been there. You broke your leg during hockey. It's a scary situation. His left foot gets tangled up. His ankle, I don't know how it's still in its socket. It was a very dangerous play. I don't know. It really rubs me the wrong way. It's an unnecessary play. Aaron Dell did not have to do this. And this is not the first time he's done this. He's got a track record of doing this. He did this to Mark Stone a few years back when he was playing for the San Jose Sharks, where Stone was forechecking, same play, different side of the net. He just buries Mark Stone, absolutely just clobbers him. This is when he was with the Sharks, so there's a rivalry. Stone gets up and goes after Dell. He's like, what the hell are you doing? Like, what? This is not hockey, man. Like, dude, this is not safe. And nothing comes of that, no suspensions or anything. But goalies, they get lauded when they do this. The fans love it. Everybody else loves it. Like, oh yeah, playing the body. I love it. It's great. Because goalies from time to time, you know, hit players behind the net. They do. You see Robin Lehner do it a few times. At what point do we just say, you know what? If you want to play this game, you're fair game too. Then when you step out of that crease, when you're outside of that trapezoid, it's go time, baby. If you want to stop the puck behind the net, guess what? Tom Wilson is going to be coming and railroading your ass, because it's ridiculous. You can't have it both ways if you're a goaltender. You can't just set picks and hit guys and injure people and just be totally oblivious to, oh, I didn't know what was going on. You have to be held accountable. I don't like it. I thought he should have been suspended for more games. Batherson's out for a while. He's a big part of Ottawa. I know Ottawa's not a good team this year. He's a good young player. I don't know. What did you think of the play? It bothers me. It really was a greasy play.
Me too. I was pissed when I saw that video. I was like, this is such, it's because it's like, you don't expect to get hit there, like you said. And the way that he goes in, you know, it's like, it's a long-term injury. I'm sure he's out for the rest of the season probably. And it was so unnecessary. Like, it was just so cheap. And I hate like moves like that where you're throwing a body part into a player who can't defend himself because he's not expecting it and he shouldn't expect it. It's just so greasy. It really irks me off. And what's even worse is, like, you know, the play itself is bad enough, but he's 23 years old, having a breakout season. He's about to be an all-star for the first time. You know, his family's going to fly in, all that. It's all taken away from them. You know what I mean? And now he's got Brady Tkachuk going in his place, which is fine. Brady's a great young player too. But Drake Batherson, one of those guys, like, no one talks about him. He's never mentioned one of the young and up and coming stars in the league. He's got 34 points in 31 games this year. You know what I mean? Like, it's not over the full season. Who knows? I'm sure he's not a point per game player full time, but it was a great story on a bad team and a great young player. And the fact that, and who knows too, like, sometimes guys don't come back the same. Sometimes it's just, whether it's mental or whether it's physical, sometimes you just don't recover all the way from something like that. So who knows? It's just stupid. It really pissed me off. And I think, like you said, 3 games is probably not enough. I don't think it's, I don't know. I haven't heard it that Dell made a statement yet. I haven't heard him come out and say anything. I don't know if you saw anything, but I wonder where his mind's at right now. I'd like to hear from him, because I think it would be appropriate for him to say something about all this.
Yeah, I don't think he'll make a statement, because he knows he's in the wrong. He's had a history of this. Like I said, even Matt Murray, the opposing goaltender for Ottawa, called him out. He said, I don't like calling out other goalies, but a player is not expecting to get hit by a goalie. Just like when a goalie comes out to play the puck, you can't hit him. I just thought it was a dangerous play that turned out to be really unfortunate result Batherson's gone, man. Like, he broke something in his leg. They haven't said anything yet, but just watching this hit over and over again, he's broke his ankle. He's broke something in his leg, or tore an ACL or an MCL, the way his leg got ripped around. He's done for the season, potentially. That's a huge hit for a young player. This is his fourth year. This is his first really full season, going to get an 82 games in. Last year, it was a truncated season. He did well. He had 34 points and whatever many 50 games. But it's just like you said, I've been with guys who have had leg injuries, and it affects them long term. Curtis Foster, prime example. It was a bigger break, broke his femur. Never the same player after that. Never the same mobility. Never the same power. Just always a step behind guys. Yes, he still eked out a few more years, but he was a very powerful, big, strong defenseman before the injury, and it just totally crushed him. Like, it ruined his career as far as what it could have been. So hopefully this isn't the case with Batherson, because he is just a good young forward on an exciting Ottawa team that their future in the next 3, 4, 5 years looks really good, and he's going to be a main piece of that. So I don't know, Aaron Dell. Like, he swung his stick a couple of weeks ago in Nashville. He swung his skate at Calgary's Sam Bennett. Like, he's an issue. He's an issue. He's like the reincarnation of Ron Hextall. I don't get it. Is he mad because he's on a bad Buffalo team right now? Who knows? We'll try to get him on the show. But it's not a good look. Now, it also affects Brady Tkachuk. That guy's already got plans for the All-Star game. He's going to the Bahamas with his boys. You know, we talked to him in the offseason. He likes going to Miami with the fellas, tipping a couple back. He was looking forward to a break. And he's got to go and do a stinking All-Star game. It's a lose-lose all around. If you're prepped for a break, you're like, I got 4 days. I'm going to go let the hair down a little bit. It's going to be great. Then all of a sudden, this guy gets hurt, and you're like, gosh, I'm going. Who else do we have in Ottawa? No one else. Like, it's just me. So now he's got to cancel all his plans. He's got to let down all his friends from back home. It's a lose-lose all around. It's a bad situation. All thanks to Aaron Dell, because he couldn't keep his hands to himself. But so I tell my kids all the time, keep your hands to yourself. Personal space. No one wants to be touched. I got a kid who loves picking up our newborn. Not even a newborn anymore, a little baby. I'm like, just, she doesn't like it. Hands to yourself. Personal space. Don't touch her. So tell it to Aaron Dell. Hands to yourself, Aaron. Another hit. Getting a little controversy. Your Boston Bruins were involved in this one. So why don't you break this down? You're a Bruins insider. Taylor Hall took just a dangerous run at Nathan MacKinnon. I'm gonna play the role of Jack Edwards, but for the Colorado Avalanche. You go first.
Yeah, late night game. I didn't watch it live. It was 10 o'clock. I was already lights out by then, but I woke up this morning, watched the replay. So Nathan MacKinnon collects the pass, skating through center ice, and Taylor Hall drops him. And he goes right down. You can see this blood squirting everywhere. It looks bad. And maybe in the first watch in real time, you're like, oh, Taylor got him there. He must have been an elbow to the face or something cheap. MacKinnon was all bloodied up, did not return to the game. You watch the replay, though. The elbow's down. The shoulder's tucked. He gets him, and MacKinnon, unfortunately, is leaning a little bit forward. Like, his nose and his face are just the first things out. But it's a bang-bang play. I don't think there was any intention there. I don't think there was really anything wrong with the hit. Unfortunate that somebody got hurt, but no, not a cheap hit. I don't think there's going to be any kind of conversation or supplementary discipline. Just an unfortunate result on a big, clean, open ice hit. And that's not just the Bruins fan talking. That's the facts.
So I'm going to play the role of Jack Edwards here. But for the Colorado Avalanche, Hall's a predator. He's an absolute dangerous predator. MacKinnon had no business being hit there. He was a defenseless player. It was a quick pass to him in the middle of the ice. He wasn't a threat to score. He was in his defensive zone. Hall wasn't even going after the puck at all. He was an absolute predator. He should be suspended for life. I hate it. MacKinnon's probably dead. He's dead in the hospital right now because of Taylor Hall. He's an absolute animal. I don't like it. Anyways, it was a good hit. I liked it. What caused the damage? Hall hit MacKinnon's stick. MacKinnon's stick came up, whacked him in the face, probably busted his nose. He's gushing blood. The optics of it looks really bad when your captain, arguably one of the top three players in the NHL, gets just blindsided. Absolutely train wrecked. He's not bleeding. Captain. Sorry, Landeskog's a captain. Yeah. He's bleeding on the ice. He's just, it looks really bad. Your captain was the one who passed a suicide pass up the middle, by the way. Not a good pass by Gabriel Landeskog at all. In the defensive zone, a soft pass through the middle. It's a no-no. You go vertical. You go either vertical over the top or you go up and down. You don't go cross ice in your D zone. But I like what Landeskog says. He doesn't defend, you know, himself or Colorado or anything. He says it's an unfortunate way what happened. I feel a little responsible for giving him a soft play up the middle. I like that. But stuff happens, and it happens quick. Unfortunately, Nate's hurt now, and we don't know for how long. Just hope he's okay. Then he went on to say, I had a chance to review it.
Oh, this is the coach talking now, this next quote here.
Oh, is this Cassidy or is this the Avalanche coach? Yeah. So he just says, you know, it's a good hit. I like Colorado's response. You know, they don't complain about it. They don't moan about it. Their best player's hurt. They move on. Hockey's, it's a physical game. Get over it. If this was the other way, the Bruins would be up in arms. If someone catches Marchand like this, they're losing their marbles. You got to know that.
Yes. You got to separate the Bruins from Jack Edwards because they're not the same thing.
They're one and the same.
Here's my problem with what happened last night. That second quote that the coach said, I had a chance to review it, and the way he catches him, Nate's stick was up, so I believe they probably made the right call. But it's a type of hit the league's trying to get rid of. That last thing just kind of irks me. I don't like that. The type of hit the league's trying to get rid of. In what way? What's wrong with that hit?
He's hitting a defenseless player.
He's not. He was carrying the puck up center ice.
But he is
defenseless about it.
I know. I think what he's saying is, and this is what the league has said, Taylor could have done something differently to separate the man from the puck instead of just exploding him. He could have went and stepped into him, angled him out. This is their reasoning. I don't want to say I agree with it. That's the type of hockey I want to see, but I get what he's saying. The league is trying to get rid of these blindside hits with a defenseless player looking back for a puck, and he just gets buried by someone he didn't even see. So I get that, Jack Edwards.
Do you ever have any incidents where you made one of those passes to somebody and they got blown up at center ice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Was that your fault?
No, like, oh, yeah. The one who made the pass?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you love doing it?
Yeah. It's fun. No, I don't love doing it, but it's like sometimes if you don't have a lot of vision like I do, and for whatever reason, it was hard for me to take a puck D to D and then look up the boards because I'm already looking towards the center of the ice to take a pass. So I see the centerman. I'm like, oh, there he is. Stoink, and then he just gets buried. I'm like, I gotta fight the guy now. So it hasn't happened a ton of times, but a handful of times I've done it, and it's just a terrible feeling. It's the absolute just worst feeling because I play against the fourth line, and there's some absolute just murderers on the fourth line, or there used to be. And it's like, oh boy, you're gonna get buried by David Krejci, and it's just gonna be bad, and I'm gonna have to go fight this guy. So it is what it is, it happens, but I like Landeskog's, you know, comments. I like the coach's comments. Did anybody fight Hall in that game? I didn't see that.
No, they were trying to go after him, but he didn't respond. The Avalanche ended up scoring. They were down the whole game, and they scored with 30 seconds left. Landeskog and Cale Makar, of course, won it in overtime. So it must have been a good game. I wish I stayed up for it, but I was.
It was a great game. The Bruins are up 3-1. Does that make you nervous that they can't hold a lead versus any, like, an Avalanche team who is very good? But if you're up 3-1 in the third period, punch your ticket. That's a W if you're a good team.
It doesn't make me nervous only because the Avalanche are the Avalanche. Like, I don't think we learned anything about either team last night. You know what I mean? Like, we know the Avs are better than us. And so, no, I don't like to see it, but it doesn't make me any more nervous than I was yesterday. So
I like what I'm seeing from the Avalanche. I really do. They blow teams out. They're better than every team. When they get in tight situations, when they're down 2 goals in the third, they don't fold like they have in years past. They have some adversity. They have some grit. Maybe all those years of losing the playoffs have, like, benefited them. And I know that's hard to say. You know, everybody says it after they lose in the playoffs. Oh, we'll learn from this. We'll build. Maybe, just maybe, the Avalanche have learned something. Because there's some teams they'll never learn ever. I'm not going to name names. But who knows? It was a big win for Colorado.
Let me read you their January results real quick. Colorado. Starting with January 2nd against the Anaheim Ducks. Win, 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 win. Overtime loss against Nashville. Win, 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 win. That's their January. They have not lost in regulation yet, and only one overtime loss. This team is riding high right now. Here's a question, though, and I know this sounds like a stupid thing to say. People say it every year. Are they peaking too early?
No, I don't think so. I think they are they're going to be great. I think this team is destined for the Stanley Cup. They have great, great, great players. So, I don't know. I like it. I like Colorado. I like what they're doing. Can you hear it?
Yeah, and their next couple of games are against Chicago, Buffalo, Arizona, and then they have the All-Star break.
They're not going to lose. I'm telling you right now, if the Stanley Cup Finals is not Colorado, gosh, Vegas, I don't know what I'm going to do, who I'm going to cheer for.
It's going to be Minnesota. Minnesota is going to surprise everyone, and that's going to be the team that no one picks. And
I know, or Nashville. They always know, but it's going to be very exciting. I don't know, but it's a good story for Colorado. They got a good team. Their goaltending is the only question mark. You know what's not a question mark for me? DoorDash, Tim. When I'm hungry, when I want food, I call up DoorDash. I fire it up on my app. I get some food. I get delivered right to my door. And it's just such a good, good, good product. I get all the best restaurants I want. If I want to get greasy food, I get pizza. Want to get fancy food, I go fancy and get some Italian, maybe some sushi. It's a win-win all around. I love it. You'll love it. Go to DoorDash, enter promo code GlovesDD. If you're in Canada, GlovesDD US. If you're in the USA, you've heard me say it a million times. I'm saying it again. DoorDash, they're the best. Ding dong, ding dong. DoorDash is here. Check it out. All right, let's do some quick hits, Tim. Then we'll get out of here. We'll do another show tomorrow. There's so much to talk about. Friend of the show, Tyler Ennis, Hattricarino, not a bad one. Scores his third goal with like 30 seconds left in that game with Batherson gets injured. Maybe Enzo gets a little time on the first and second line because of a Batherson injury. Pretty cool. Did you see that? Did you see his hat trick, Tim? Did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Love to see it. Let's, yeah, I wish we had him on again to talk about it because I would love to hear about him. Like, because he was joking about not scoring anymore, being a little bit older, not getting first time line. Then he gets the hat trick. I love that.
It's very exciting. I also, hey, guess what? I got a contact with Canada Hockey. We're going to be like the guys for the Canada Hockey team. It's going to be very exciting when they go to the Olympics. So we'll get a couple of guys on the interviews, on the podcast. We'll do a day in the life of an Olympian from China.
Nice.
I think that's exciting. I think they're just trying to pump it up now that the NHL guys aren't there because so they're kind of a little desperate. All right, what else is going on?
Jeff Carter signed an extension, 2 years at 3.25 or 3.125 with Pittsburgh, which I thought was interesting. 2 years is a lot. He's not a spry chicken. And someone tweeted out one of those advanced.
He's not a fried guys. Chicken.
Spry chicken. That's
spry chicken.
That okay. That's the term, right?
A young spry buck.
I don't know. Okay, go ahead. He gets a lot of penalties. So it's like one of those things where the advanced stats don't love the guy, but think about what he did for this team earlier in the season when all these big stars were hurt. He's a good player, especially if he's on your third line, which he's just now really has the chance to be because he was playing those top 6 minutes all year. So 2 years is maybe a little much at his age, but Pittsburgh's feeling good. They're keeping this group together. So good for him.
Yeah, if he's your third line centerman, I think that's a deal. He's going to be 30. He's 37 now. So when the contract ends, he'll be 39, 40. It's a good deal. Like the guy produces, he's just clutch. Whatever situation you put him in, he will produce. He can anchor your second line power play. He's still got wheels, even being that advanced age. It's amazing to see him and contrast him to a guy who's maybe the same as like a Zach Parise. Zach's totally fallen off. He's not the same player he was when he entered the league. You can tell he's lost 1, 2, 3 steps. Jeff Carter, he still skates like the wind. He flies around the ice. He's got a wicked shot. Like he's just a good player. I don't know how he does it, but he still puts up points. He's got 26 this year. He's point a game last year. 19-40 the year before. He's not going to get you the points he got early in his career when he was getting 84 and that stuff. But, you know, you can lock him in for 50. And for a third line centerman, throw him on your second power play line unit. That's not bad. Does he last 2 years in Pittsburgh? Do they ship him off at the trade deadline if they're not competing? That's always an option too. I like the signing.
I thought a cool stat too from Buchacross last night or the night before tweeted out that zero players have ever had 100 point seasons for the Panthers or the Minnesota Wild, but they have two on pace to do it this year. Huberdeau's on pace for about 110 points for Florida. Kirill Kaprizov is on pace for 107 for Minnesota, and both would be franchise first. So I thought that was pretty cool.
I'm surprised Marian Gaborik has never had 100 points.
I'm not. I don't think he's touched 90.
His highest point total is 86. That's very, very strange to me. Even Pavel Bure when he was with Florida.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day when he was ripping up and down the ice, the Russian Rocket.
Yurkinen never had 100, Florida.
Yeah. Like Pavel Bure, he had a couple hundred seasons when he was with Vancouver, 110, 107. Then he goes to Florida, 94, 92. Oh, so close. Almost, but no. But I like this. Who gets it? Who doesn't get it? Do they both get it? Kaprizov or Huberdeau?
I like Hubert over Kaprizov, but I think they both get it. Yeah.
I agree. Hubert will definitely get it. Very exciting. Good for them. Kaprizov is so good. I love watching him play hockey. He's so incredibly good. I just think, oh, what a find Minnesota got it when they got him.
Did you see that shift the other day against Montreal where he entered the zone? It wasn't even a power play, but he does two full laps around the offensive zone. They just couldn't touch him. Just two left, skating full speed. They were a step behind him, ended up passing or generating a shot on net. But it's like this guy's just operating on another level most of the time.
It's Montreal. I think we have to take that with a grain of salt. Montreal is – it's embarrassing what's going on with Montreal right now. It's not a good time to be a Canadian fan. It really is.
Is it more embarrassing than Philly, though? 13-game loss streak?
But, you know, it's interesting. They're standing by their guy, right, Tim? There's some loyalty there. What did the chairman say about Chuck Fletcher? Which was eye-opening because I thought Chuck was going to be shown the door pretty soon.
Yeah, so the Flyers chairman, a guy named Dave Scott, talked yesterday, and he said about Fletcher, I like the way he's built this up, this organization. I like his style. I like his leadership. He's smart. He's collaborative. I think he deserves a shot to really write this thing. I'm going to give him a blank check. We're going to get this right, whatever we need to do, which was surprising because, like, we talked about how maybe mismanaged this Flyers team was. And I saw a great comment the other day about their over the last decade, they just refused to accept a rebuild when they probably should have. And look, they're stuck in this no man's land. And now they're just a bottom dwelling team with all these long, bad contracts. But I like the idea as a neutral hockey fan that the Flyers, that he's got a blank check. And their sellers, like, we could see some interesting things with Giroux or JVR or some of the restart of these big defensemen. Like, we could see some guys moved to a deadline, and that could be pretty exciting to watch.
I like what the chairman's doing here. I think Fletcher has done a good job. He has answered every question that they've had. They needed some toughness. They go out, they get Ristolainen, and they needed help on the back end. They bring in Ellis. He's filling positions that needed filled. It's not like he's just sat on his hands and done absolutely nothing. He's trying to make this team better. And I think we talked about it last episode. The players just aren't playing good. Like there's nothing that the GM can do. He assembled this team and they've had a lot of injuries. Like right now, when you look at their injuries, it's half their team is out. Morin, Ellis, Thompson, Couturier, Farabee, Hayes, Brown, and Allison. Like that's a lot of guys out. And none of them are out due to COVID. They're all injured. So, you know, it is what it is. Their goaltenders haven't been strong during his tenure there as a GM. Hopefully he can, you know, move some guys, get some cap space for next year. Chuck's a good GM. I had him in Minnesota. He didn't want to re-sign me. So whatever, I don't care. It's nice to see some loyalty though, letting him play it out a little bit because GMs, they get nervous. The lifespan of a GM nowadays is 3 years. That's not enough time to put your imprint on a team. So it's nice to see a change of pace where you say, you know, we're not going to panic. We're going to let this guy mold this team. We'll give him a chance. Because really, if you're a GM, you need 5 to 7 years. Get a couple draft picks in. Get some guys out who were there from your previous GM. Sign some players that you want. Put your imprint on the team and see what it's all about. So you bring this GM in for a minute and for a reason, and then you give him a minute and you chuck him out the door. You can't do that. I like what Philadelphia's doing here. They're not panicking, even though maybe they should. All right, Erik Karlsson out until March. Big deal.
Yep.
Playoffs?
Yeah, no, they're still in the playoff hunt. They beat Washington last night. So, yeah, this is the blow to them. But I think they're still not a scary team. They're not doing anything anyway.
Totally agreed. Johnny Gaudreau on fire. Talk about Johnny.
Yeah, so Calgary on Monday night, they beat the Blues 7-1. And then last night they beat Columbus 6-0. Johnny Gaudreau had 4 points and 3 points. He's got 12 points in his last four games. 11 of those are assists. And it's not just like secondary assists. He's creating plays, which is really cool to see. And last night they had 62 shots on net, which I saw this stat and got it in front of me. That's the fourth most in the last 40 years. And it's the most since 1991. So this is like unprecedented. And it's crazy too, because Merz Likens was in net for Columbus. And his goals against was 6, but his save percentage was above 900, which is just crazy. It never happened. So they're getting hot right now. They're turning it up, and I think they're going to be a team to watch. But like you said, this division's wide open. It's all the hot hand, and right now it's Calgary.
They have the systems that you need to be a good, successful team in the playoffs. They got a decent back end. I like their defense. You know, big, strong, physical guys, a couple guys who can move the puck. Strong down the middle. They got Lindholm, Backlund, Monahan. I like that center crew they have. And if Johnny's playing the way he's playing, Matthew Tkachuk, and just my man crush, Andrew Mangiapane. Love this guy. Love him to death. So they have a good team. No high-end guys who can really, you know, skillful players. But, yeah, in that division, who knows? But, you know, you're punching up when you have to play the Vegas Golden Knights and the Colorado Avalanche. Those are the teams that are going to set the bar. Can they upset them? I don't think so. But they definitely won't make the playoffs if they keep playing like this in that junky Pacific Division, Tim. Anything else?
No, we'll save the rest for tomorrow.
All right, everybody. I hope you guys have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.